One of the most vexing questions in SETI is the issue of just where to look for detectable alien civilizations. As it stands, the vast majority of targets in SETI are nearby individual stars, and while candidates have been found, the best candidate to date, the WOW signal, was not found in the way we currently are looking in SETI. Indeed, it was a sweeping survey, a fixed telescope that rotated and scanned with the Earth's rotation, and could be adjusted to some other areas of the sky. Few other SETI projects have taken that approach. Rather, they tend to use steerable telescopes. Where to look also invariably is tied to what to look for. It stands to reason that the most visible civilizations should be the most powerful ones. They would be the low-hanging fruit on visibility from a certain point of view, though the opposite argument can be made as well. But either way, they are the most terrifying type. If you see them, that's one type of spooky, as you know that you are not the biggest kid on the block in your galaxy. If you can't see them, then you have an invisible, godlike presence in your galaxy with you that you have no way of ever knowing is even there, until it is, and you get its attention. There was a kind of dry run of this with Tabby's star, KSE-8462-852. Where for a time, and what initially prompted me to create this channel and post a video on it, the data included an alien option on the table because the light curve, in the absence of good visual observations, was consistent with someone building a megastructure around their star 1500 years ago. Had that panned out, we would know someone was there long ago, but we would not know what their current status is. Or possibly even what exactly they were doing. But there are no good candidates for detection of a distant alien civilization right now. When we look, we see no evidence for galaxy-spanning Kardashev Type 3 civilizations, at least to how they were envisioned in that scale. But while those may not be impossible, they may be impractical, and aliens set their sights lower, even if they are highly advanced, and appear more subtle though still very powerful. Type 2, however, may be more realistic in that a scaled-down, highly advanced Type 3 civilization may engage in projects on level with Type 2. This type of thinking has resulted in what is being termed high-energy SETI, where and what you might look for regarding a Type 2 civilization, detailed in a paper by Brian Lackey, link in the description below. It involves the notion that areas of the galaxy where there are vast concentrated energies might be places where such civilizations might go or otherwise use. And as a result, these might be the best places to look, when in fact, those are the areas that are not being widely searched right now. And some may even have been prematurely discounted as SETI targets in the past out of a bias in what we think aliens might do. It pays to mention here that there is a chance, a really high chance actually, and a spooky one, that we might end up spotting aliens doing something that we simply do not understand. We may be too primitive, but in such a scenario, what we would be able to detect is that some kind of work is being done by someone in an unnatural way. You could make an analogy here. An uncontacted Stone Age tribe may see humans building something, but they would not understand it was a radio telescope or what it was for. They definitely are probably not ready for the answer, which is to detect and potentially attempt to contact aliens on their behalf. They do not know about the Arecibo message, and were not consulted, being uncontacted, yet it happened. This could happen to us on a galactic scale. Does someone out there speak on our behalf? One interesting aspect of this approach is that datasets already exist for these areas in astronomy. While they initially might not have been thought to be good for alien hunting, they are otherwise astronomical areas of great interest. So you could go back and search old surveys for evidence of advanced engineering that went unnoticed in the original survey, whatever its intent was. This would be a cost-effective way of doing a SETI experiment in high-energy domains. One high-energy place to look in SETI isn't a place, but an area of the electromagnetic spectrum, X-rays and gamma rays. SETI has not focused very much on these regions simply because we tend to think that alien life would be like us, and we only limitedly use those frequencies. Aliens, however, may not, but they also might exploit high-energy environments rich in these frequencies, such as the area around a neutron star. Again, neutron stars were not seen as habitable places, but to an advanced enough civilization, they actually might be attractive. One specific approach here would be X-ray communications. The advantage of using X-rays is that there is less diffraction, meaning that they can be sent out in very tight beams that can be highly directional. If you saw an X-ray flash from a normally quiet source, such as a nearby star system, that might constitute a deliberate shining of a flashlight our way to get our attention. But there's a weirder possibility, and it involves neutron stars. Omnidirectional signal broadcasting in SETI is considered less likely than directional signals because to blast out radio waves in all directions is far more energy expensive. Still, beacons of that nature have been searched for to no avail. But aliens may still be everywhere, yet no one wants to waste that much energy to say hello to the entire galaxy. But nature has no such concerns. It just blasts out raw energy, which can be directional or omnidirectional. And nature does not care about economy and not wasting energy. But there are ways to hybridize the two, so in principle, you might be able to create a flash of X-rays by dropping an asteroid into a neutron star. When it hits, a burst of energy detectable at interstellar distances should result. Time asteroids being dropped onto a neutron star producing an unnatural series of events, and you have a way to at least get someone's attention. Or even communicate and message with it over long time frames, at least mathematically. You just need a lot of asteroids at your disposal, and the ability to manipulate them very precisely, which would be a hallmark of a civilization of great power. And it has to be said, if they can throw an asteroid at a neutron star, they can throw one at your planet, and if they get it moving fast enough, you may never see it coming. With a ready supply of asteroids in hand, then you drop them at regular intervals, or pulse out sequences of numbers, and so on. It would not be so different from sending codes with flashlights. And asteroids are free, and so are neutron stars. So you just need to expend the energy needed to send the asteroid on its course. But to see that, you need to be looking at neutron stars in X-ray from a standpoint of SETI, which is not being done at this time. There are plenty of studies of neutron stars going, but those focus on the natural science of those types of objects rather than aliens' messaging. There's also another possibility regarding X-ray binary systems. Here you have a neutron star that's in orbit with another star and is robbing it of material. These high-energy systems can be eclipsed artificially and accomplish communication because the accretion area is compact. But these particular objects are very high energy for how large they are. And that's actually a potential intergalactic technosignature in that if you see a galaxy that seems to be devoid of the characteristic emissions of these objects, it may mean that energy is being collected, concealed, or deflected by someone in that galaxy. But as with anything regarding intergalactic SETI, you can only go so far in that the galaxies need to be relatively nearby, the distant ones we see too early in their history to have developed life. Here, there is a related recent development in intergalactic SETI worth mentioning. In a paper also by Brian Lackey, link in the description below, he details that one way we might at least get a heads up in regards to other galaxies that may be full of alien civilizations is looking for radio-bright galaxies. This paper is part of a series of papers linked with Breakthrough Listen that explore the possibility of discovering not just one alien civilization, but entire populations of alien civilizations that are not necessarily bound to a single star system. Essentially, the idea is this. If you have a population of alien civilizations or one that has spread itself via von Neumann probes to all systems in that galaxy, all of that radio communication collectively will make a galaxy overall radio bright, and that should be detectable, even though you could never tease out individual broadcasts. Galaxies naturally produce radio by a bunch of different mechanisms. Even Sagittarius A star, the supermassive black hole at the center of the galaxy, is a radio source. Indeed, that's how it was originally discovered. But there are general guidelines on how bright galaxies can be. If they become anomalously bright, then there may be highly advanced civilizations pervading it. These are known as radio bright galaxies, but they are rare, so that at least gives a baseline. It turns out that these types of civilizations, which classically would be near or at Type 3, seem to be rare, according to this work, and the galaxy-spanning civilizations blasting out radio is not a common thing in the universe. The problem is that this would seem to be as far as you can go in that you could never prove that the radio-bright galaxies are that way because of the presence of advanced aliens. There's just no realistic way to tell. But what it does say is that, in this specific scenario of alien supercivilizations, they must be rare in this context. Ultimately, the rarity of these highly advanced technological civilizations expanding through galaxies might be a good thing. Food for perhaps a comforting thought. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently glad that we live in a galaxy that does not appear to have a super civilization present in it. That seems like a good way to end up with a large tax bill for back taxes if you ever run into it, and they would presumably have access to super lawyers. It would be a big mess, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.